Well, welcome along to the Rugby Pass podcast. Today is Friday, December 16th. We're almost there at the end of the year, but what a treat we have in store today for our listeners. Last night, the New Zealand Rugby Awards were held, and the winner of the Black Ferns Sevens Player of the Year is the captain of the New Zealand Women's Sevens side, Sarah Goss. She joins us on the pod. Hello, Gossie.
Hi, Sam. How's things?
Well, you know, I'm not too bad, and last night was a fun occasion. Always great to have a chat to you on the couch when you're winning things, and you've made a habit out of winning things, but I'm going to get to you in a little bit because we've got serious things to discuss, Gossie. Are you ready for a serious conversation?
I think I'm ready for it, yeah.
Do you know what was cool about last night? And, you know, I've been in this game for a long time, and you've been around the game as well, and at the forefront of the development of the women's game. Do you know, last night was a real women's night at New Zealand Rugby Awards. Did you get that vibe that you guys are now so a part of the game? You're not just the outsiders looking in?
Yeah, it's actually incredible just to be, I suppose, being able to go to the awards. And but then also, I think last year and the year before, our award was one of the seconds, and now it's like quite into the night, so it's just it's pretty awesome to see that they're backing us, and the more that we can do for them, the better.
You know, we sat there last night, and the sponsor of the awards, the CEO of a big bank in New Zealand, is female and very formidable, and she made quite a confronting speech, a real challenge laid down to New Zealand Rugby to keep going on the diversity track, to keep encouraging women to be a part of the game, to keep being better. Dr. Farah Palmer, a woman you know well, and who our women's 15s competition is named for in New Zealand, just elected to the New Zealand Rugby Board, the first woman in 124 years. And then all of you lovely wahine who go and represent this country with distinction, standing there front and centre, you're sitting at the table with the CEO of New Zealand Rugby. I mean, Gossie, you're like 4 years out of school.
I know. I think when we sat down at a table, I was like, oh, wow, we're actually at the big dog's table. But no, it's just nice to be, I suppose, being able to go to the awards, and the more people you can meet and mingle around with, it's pretty incredible. We come from such a small town, and to be at awards and at a night like that is pretty honouring.
We never really get to sit down and chat too much about your leadership and how you've got to this point. So for those listening to the podcast who may not be aware of what you've done in the game and what your teams have done in the game, just give us a bit of a background about where your involvement in rugby began.
So it began back at Fielding High School. Obviously, Rob Jones was a big pusher of me getting into women's rugby or girls rugby at the time. And then it went on to Manawatu and Manawatu Sevens and the great success we've had with that team, and then obviously on to higher honours in the women's sevens, and then it was awesome to get a couple of games for the Black Ferns 15s team this year as well.
Rob Jones is a man who's coached Fielding High School's girls teams for a long time. He's stepping down next year for a wee sabbatical. I don't know if you know that, Gossie. I think we're all trying to convince him to stay around. But that Fielding High School program that Rob ran, it really was a catalyst for so many programs now that have replicated what Fielding High School's done. And for those people who don't know where Fielding is, it's in the central North Island. It is a small town, a rural community. But this high school, not only producing All Blacks, but now Black Ferns and Black Ferns Sevens players as well, including yourself, the captain of the New Zealand Black Ferns. But I think about the Whitelock brothers, Aaron Smith, Cody Taylor, the list goes on. This has become a real rugby factory, but especially in the girls' game. I don't think without Fielding High School we would be where we are today. Do you look back on that time at high school and what you guys did as a program and think maybe this was the start of it all?
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty thankful for what Rob Jones started at Fielding High School. Before he was coach, the team was coming last in every competition that we had. So for him to take it over and turn it into what it is today, we're pretty grateful for what he's done. And I was looking back at a few photos, and he's coached seven women's international players at the time that he's been there. So it's a credit to what he's done, and I know that it's going to keep continuing on. And it's great. I'm happy that he's going to have a sabbatical. He's got four young girls, and they're pretty busy in themselves. So it's going to be awesome that he can spend a little bit more time with his family.
Well, he only needs three more, and he's got a sevens team, Gossie. So, you know, there's still time for him yet.
We keep telling him that.
Hey, talk to me about what this year has been like for you, because an intense year in so many ways, and I guess it's not until you get a breather, and I don't think you've been able to do that yet, where you look back and think, all the way back to the start of the year and Manawatu and a national championship in the sevens, then into the Black Ferns sevens program, the Olympic Games, where you captained your side to a silver medal, straight into 15s, as you said, with the 5-0 Black Ferns. And already we've been back into the World Series and the first title of the year in Dubai. How do you stop and take stock of what you've achieved?
I don't know. Like for me, I love rugby and I love what I'm doing at the moment. So the more that I can keep playing and keep being involved in the game, the better off I suppose our team will be. And I suppose that's what Christmas is for. Next week's going to be an enjoyable time, spending a little bit more time with my family back down in the Manawatu. I've loved 2016. It's probably been one of the best years that I've had, not just in a rugby sense, but also like in a personal sense. So I can't wait to get into 2017 and into the future and see what it brings for us.
You know, I mentioned Dr. Farah Palmer before, and of course we know Farah's legendary status among women rugby players in New Zealand, if not around the world. She was such a fantastic rugby player. But to see her ascension now to the New Zealand Rugby Board, we know that female players statistically think about their careers after the game much more than male players do. Do you look at someone like Farah, Sarah, and think to yourself, you know, that is an inspiration to all women playing in the game?
Exactly. I've looked up to Farah since I was a young girl, and she's probably one of the reasons why I wanted to actually start playing rugby. So it's massive that she's been able to be the first woman to be on the New Zealand Rugby Board. She's already in the Hall of Fame for IRB rugby players, and I think that she has a great background. Like, she's a professor at Massey University, so the way that the having models, role models like her in our game is incredible, and I know that there's a lot of other girls that look up to her as well.
Well, I talked to Melody Robinson on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, Gossie. We were in Te Maru for one of the sevens tournaments in New Zealand, and we were talking about why women players in particular are more likely to think about a career outside of the game. And I look around the crew that you guys work with and that you play with, and all of you have other focuses. I'm not so sure the men feel the same way, but you guys are really committed to study, really committed to further learning, and just as committed to the game. What do you think makes the women approach the game in a different way to the men?
I think like we've got to see it as our careers might not be as long as what a male player is, but they've got options to go overseas. And I think at the moment that the women don't have that, so our careers are going to be a little bit shorter, so we've got to actually start thinking about what we want to do. And I think that we're happy to be busy, so the more that we can play and train but then have other stuff on the side as well, it just takes your mind off of rugby. And I think it's awesome for the girls that they've got something else. It might not be study, but it might be a course, or they might be going off and helping schools and stuff. So we keep pushing that and making sure that they're also doing something outside of the game.
You're throwing down the old women a bit of multitaskers line on me, aren't you?
maybe I'll snuck that in there.
Hey, your experience in the 15s, and you know what a season it was with the Black Ferns. But yeah, there was the series against Australia, and then the tour where you faced three of the best women's teams in the world, including England. When your old teammate from Fielding High School, Amy Cocaine, is a big member of that side. In England, the women's game is going professional in the same way that our sevens game here is going professional for women. Did you bring any learnings back from how you looked at the programs of Canada, England, Ireland on that tour?
Honestly, I didn't actually play those teams. I only played the two tests in New Zealand I went back to Dubai. But just looking into it, like England put a lot of emphasis on their 15s team. They're obviously current world champions, and we're hoping to rectify that next year. But for them, their 15s programs are quite big, and I know that we're putting a lot more emphasis on making sure that our 15s team is ready for the World Cup next year. So it's great that we've been able to play them this year, and then I know that we're playing them again next year. So the more that these kind of derby games can keep getting played, the better off that our team will be, and also the quality of women's rugby.
Well, the quality's gone up, and I mean that most sincerely. I remember when the women's sevens was first initiated as part of the national championship, And you would have seen it because you've been there pretty much since day one, Sarah. The skill level in the women's game now is next level, but it has increased so much in such a short space of time. Is it down to coaching? Is it down to other women in the game looking at what you guys have done and trying to emulate? Is it a combination of all of those things?
Yeah, I think a combination. I think the way that the girls are wanting to adapt and learn to keep growing women's sevens around the world is amazing. And like I've just seen, there's three ex-Black Ferns and women's sevens players now coaching women's regional teams. So it's a massive credit for them to come back and get back to our game and also keep progressing the young ones that are coming through. So I hope it just keeps continuing to get better and better and for more of a spectacle for New Zealand to watch.
You know, I don't think I've shared this story with you, but last weekend here in New Zealand, we had our Northern Region Sevens qualifiers for the Provincial National Championship in January. And, you know, Sarah, we've all been around venues where kids are there with their autograph books and taking selfies. And usually, let's be honest, they're after All Blacks and Super Rugby players. I've never seen this in my life. Portia Woodman, one of your teammates, is sitting on the bank with her parents, and the hordes of kids, boys and girls, and other fans who just descended on her and asked for autographs and wanted photos. I mean, that's superstar status in our game. I don't think I've ever seen a female player attract so much attention, and I'm sure you get it around the world on the Sevens circuit, Gossie, but just for me, that was such a breakthrough moment. They couldn't give a damn about any of the boys playing the game. All they wanted was a photo with this woman. But that's really inspiring to me.
Yeah, Portia's incredible. She sort of skipped like 16 tries in one tournament. and like I get people coming up to me and they're like, oh, wow, you play with Portia Woodman. And I'm like, yeah, she's all right. no, but she's awesome too. Like off the field, she's really humble and it's just a credit to how her family have brought her up. And I know that she gets a bit thing about the attention and stuff like that, but she deserves everything that comes her way because she's a pretty incredible athlete.
I know what you're trying to say there is that we do all the hard work and she just finishes the tries. That's, I can read between the lines with you, Gossie. but that's the whole, you know, we're in this time, I think, in life where, you know, women are asserting themselves in a way that I don't think we've seen in our lifetimes. And, you know, when you find yourself in a leadership position like you do in a sport that has been over more than a century a really male-dominated environment, do you think about how you're inspiring other young women? Do you think about that agenda for you and where you want to take the game from a female perspective?
Oh, that's exactly true. That's what I want to do in this game is keep inspiring young girls, but also ladies to keep playing rugby and want to play rugby, because the more that we can keep turning heads and show that women's rugby is a great spectacle for to watch and for women to play, the better off our game will be. So, like, I'm excited coming back from Rio and seeing how many young girls want to keep playing sevens, and I want sevens to be the number one pick for a young girl at primary school or high school even. So I'm just excited about to see how many more people keep picking up the game, and the more that we can make it a spectacle, I'm sure the more people will keep playing it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And what about outside of the game, Gossie? Because, you know, now you find that the sphere of influence that you have extends far beyond just the rugby field and the training park. Do you find yourself in situations now where, quite frankly, you're a little bit flabbergasted because people are seeking other knowledge from you that may not just be typically rugby knowledge?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Sometimes you just get people coming up to you and wanting to chat about what you're doing and how you got into where you've, or like what you've done and stuff like that. And it's great. The more attention that women's rugby can get, the better. But I think at the same time, like I'm like, wow, your life kind of has changed in the last 4 years to just being a rugby player to now a little bit more of a public profile. But it's awesome for our game, and our team's loving it. And, yeah, I just can't wait to keep going.
Now, I know the family's big on sharing, and I mean in the sheep sense. So now that you're a professional rugby player, are you still called upon to go help out in the wool shed, or are they letting you off the hook?
I'm always getting called upon to help out on the farm.
This is no good. Do you ever get a break, Gossie?
Oh, yeah, I do. I always like to take time to myself. But like, when I go home, I always like to give back to my parents because they've done a lot for me, and they work pretty hard. They're always on the farm and making sure that we had everything as kids. So like, I like to go back and help where I can and do a little bit of hard work, my dad says.
No, fair enough. I know you're not shy of hard work. And speaking of hard work, Gossie, to finish off on the Rugby Pass podcast today, Christmas break, but I know that you'll still be training hard. So what does the next few months look like in terms of your Sevens program and the World Sevens program?
So we'll go back into our regional training at the moment, and which will be great. Go back down to Manawatu and for the build-up before Nationals in January, and then straight after Nationals, the new contractor squad will get named, and we'll have our build up down in Wellington, and then we'll head over to Sydney to continue our World Series tournament. So that'll be awesome.
Well, I wish you a very Merry Christmas, buddy, and congratulate you on the year you've had and your career so far. And I know you've got so much more to give, and we look forward to following that with interest over the coming years. And as I said at the start of the podcast, it was a great night for women in our game last night, and congratulations on being named New Zealand's Black Ferns Sevens Player of the Year. Best of luck for the rest of the season, Gossie, and thanks for joining us.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Well, there you go, Sarah Goss, captain of the New Zealand Women's Sevens team. Always a pleasure to talk to someone who is interested in our game, who plays our game, and who's at the forefront, really, of the transformation of our game. Hope you enjoyed listening to Sarah. Always great to chat to her, and always great to chat with you. Don't forget, rugbypass.com for all the rugby you can handle.